Hello and a warm welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, professionals, and philanthropists, and policymakers, and authors who are disruptors yet not in your face. The disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as their mission. In each episode, I speak to one such leader, talking to her or him or them about their work, lives, inspirations, interests, challenges, pivot moments and turning points, successes, failures, and of course, the little joys of life and work. It is as much about their personal life stories as about their professional lives too. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, which is now YouTube Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms and directories. In this episode, we are going to talk about one of the temples of learning, or the foremost preeminent temples of learning of India, the Institute of Technology, which was built to serve a newly independent India as it took its first steps as a nation. The earliest batches, and rightly so, proudly called themselves nation builders, becoming the engineers behind India's steadily expanding infrastructure. Another generation, of course, left for greener pastures abroad. Today, a different story, however, is unfolding. Much of that talent is returning home to help build a new India, a new Bharat. The Silicon Valley technocrat is becoming the venture capitalist, backing India's deep tech startups, actually putting in a lot of commitment, not just in terms of money, but also in belief in the Bharat growth story. In many ways, the story of the IDs is the story of India and Bharat itself. So on the show today, we have Prabhat Kumar, whose new book, IIT, the story of India's most prestigious educational ecosystem, captures the evolution of IIT like it's never been told before. IIT, as we all know, is more than an educational institute. It's synonymous with aspiration, ambition, belief, and vision. The book highlights IIT's place in India's history, as well as its critical role in shaping India's future. Our guest, Prabhat Kumar, is an Indian Revenue Service officer and the chairman of Penn IIT Alumni India. He has lived the journey he maps in the book. He's the quintessential IIT, and if I may say so, whose path led from an IIT Delhi classroom to the Indian Revenue Service. And now, of course, he leads a network that connects over 500,000 IITians globally. Delighted to have you on the show, Prabhat. Absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much, Gaurav. Thank you. Thank you for calling me here. Thank you.
You know, Prabhat, let's start off with the vision, you know, the Silicon Valley to the Indus Valley. And what inspired the vision from Silicon Valley to Indus Valley? And if you can just to set the context for me and for our viewers and listeners, why is it so relevant today? Because I ask you this question because your book talks about two covenants of IITs, the nation builder and the global technocrat. How have this merged in the context of Viksit Bharat 2047, Prabhat?
Yes, absolutely, Gaurav. Let me just begin with the story of IIT, what started in 1951 from the establishment of the first IIT, that was IIT Kharagpur in the place called Hijli, which was a detention center earlier during the British government. So the first IIT was started from there. And the very purpose of establishing an IIT was to dedicate the engineers to the service of the nation. Because a young nation demanded a lot of infrastructure in terms of dams, in terms of roads, in terms of other things. So they started this thinking that the people will be retaining over here and they will be building the new India. So a lot of people did that. And when I discuss about in the book, the Bhakra Brigade and all that, so they are exactly doing the same thing. But then there was a kind of a greener pasture at that time in US, in Silicon Valley, and people, they wanted to really go there for the sake of some kind of pursuing higher studies, for pursuing PhDs, for getting good job opportunities, and many of them left also. But Now, the time has come that the IITN should understand their legacy of nation building. And India at the moment has got a lot of opportunity. The government is giving a lot of push to the AI, to semiconductors, to the space tech, to other kind, quantum, everything. And a lot of incentives are also being given over here. So now our mission is to like educate or to motivate the people of IIT who have also left, who have left from India, that please understand the legacy of IIT. And that legacy of IIT is for the nation building, whether it is the physical infrastructure or digital infrastructure, or I mean, the opportunities are here. So why don't you come back? And even if you are not coming back, at least do whatever you can do the best from right from that place itself, because you have the knowledge, you have the exposure, you have done many things, you are heading many corporations, you have the money. So in terms of mentorship, in terms of funding, in terms of other kind of guidance, or if you can come back. So that's the best thing. That is why we had given this call of from Silicon Valley to Indus Valley, because Indus Valley is here. The Bangalore, the Hyderabad, Gurgaon, Bombay, Noida, this is the new Indus Valley. So it's a very symbolic one that way. And we want to motivate our people to come back to this place. Yes.
Absolutely, Prabhat. You know, but my next question is, of course, a little as a follow-up to that is, what is your message to IITians and Indian origin professionals who are working abroad and fairly successful professionals, but they're still undecided about returning to India? So briefly, if you can tell me, what is the message that you have for them?
Absolutely. So when I went to US a couple of months earlier, I met a lot of people who are my batchmates also, friends also. Many of them, they are not decided whether to settle in US or come back to India. Their families, they stay some time in India, they stay some time in US. At least those fence sitters with this kind of motivation that you come back to India and stay here, build here, scale here. So many of them will be motivated to come here. But apart from that, I can foresee a lot of government initiatives being taken in this regard, like PMRC scheme is there, RDI scheme is there. So these are also a very, very good economic regions also for people to relocate and come back and use their talent for the growth of this country and understand the legacy of IIT, Gaurav.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned PMRC, the Prime Minister's Research Chair Scheme, the PMRC. It has been, and it's been described by many as a landmark initiative. But what makes it different from previous such efforts and programs or initiative to attract global talent, particularly Indian global talent, which is who are working overseas? You know, because I ask you this question because it's very important for India to actually attract global talent, Indian global talent, back to India, because India has witnessed decades of brain drain. And do you believe the PMRC scheme marks the beginning of the brain gain era? Are we looking at a reverse brain drain kind of a thing beginning to take place? What gives you confidence, Prabhat?
Yes, actually the brain drain thing has been going on here, but it was not in a structured format. So this scheme gives it a lot of kind of impetus which was needed, because let me enumerate one thing very clearly. People left India to these greener pastures for the economic reasons. And until unless the incentives in terms of the economic incentives are correct, till that time, you cannot attract the talent back also. So you need to have something which can sustain them, because if you are giving a hollow kind of a slogan that please come back and do whatever you want to do here, so nobody will like to move. But if there is a structured a program, if there is a structured format where they really see their career progression going on in the right direction, so that will definitely motivate a lot of people to get back and start working here. And when they are part of the economy here and they are doing research here, they will understand the opportunities here. So many people are afraid that I don't know when I come back, what I will do. But with this scheme, whether you are a senior person or in the middle level or in the youngsters, so all three categories are very widely, very nicely covered in terms of compensation, in terms of the research grant, in terms of opportunities. So I think it's a very, very good and welcome a policy step by the government.
Now, Prabhat, beyond attracting researchers in the form of, say, a grant, or say a fellowship. What else is required to persuade leading scientists and researchers to come to India? Because grants and fellowships are one thing, but are these enough to actually attract leading researchers and scientists to India, Prabhat?
Yeah, actually, the one more thing which is required is that the linkage with the industry. So if you see in the PMRC scheme also, 25% grant has to come from the industry. Because until and unless the industry tells you that in which area this kind of technology or research is required, it will be very difficult, because whatever you do, it will not be having any applications. Apart from that, what I also believe is that India should also create some kind of research parks near the industrial hubs, near the academic hubs. If we create some kind of research park, we create some labs, specialized labs like quantum labs, like AI lab, semiconductor lab, so that people who come back, they get a kind of a good social life also. Because until unless you create that kind of intellectual kind of atmosphere for people, it will be difficult for them to sustain themselves socially over here. And for a long term, Bangalore has a very good climate. Hyderabad has a very, very good kind of climate. And such kind of people can always be there. So similar kind of things we need to establish. We need to establish good labs, research parks. So this is what is my advice, or what is my expectation from the future policies from the government, that we should definitely do it this direction.
You know, Prabhat, which categories of researchers, whether young, senior or distinguished chairs, do you think will have the greatest impact on India's innovation ecosystem, Prabhat?
I think it will be the young research people, because if they come here young, they understand and they are on the horizon for a longer duration of time also. So initial 5 years is fine, but then they can be producing the maximum output in terms of number of years of stay here, in terms of experience. So I think if the young fellows come, they will be much more suited for a longer duration. But at the same time, the middle level and the senior level, they are all very vital in this case, because they have the right experience and exposure.
Yeah, so let's talk about a situation where there could be many scientists or researchers or professionals who'd be willing to contribute to India's growth story, the Bharat innovation, and contribute significantly to the Bharat innovation ecosystem, but are not willing to permanently relocate. Help me understand this. How can the PMRC scheme leverage the expertise of Indian origin researchers who may not wish to relocate permanently, but willing to contribute significantly? Prabhat?
Yes, Gaurav. Initially, this scheme is for 5 years. So, government is not expecting them to finally relocate here permanently. But even if you come here for five years, that will give the research and the entire scenario here a big push. So finally, they can go back also. And what government is trying to create is that a kind of synergy between here and there. So whatever you have learned there, you come and you try to share it with people here. Once you create a kind of people whom with you have shared the ideas and all, they can also take it forward. So government's idea is not to permanently call you back here, but 5 years is a good term, so where they can share their experiences, can do really produce good output here and do a great job. So then they can take a call. And a lot of people who are settled in the Silicon Valley, they also have their family obligations, social obligations, and many of them, they come otherwise also here. So this is one of the good incentive for them to come here, stay some time, do your social obligations, your familial obligations. And again, if you want to go back, you go back. But meanwhile, you contribute substantially to the growth and research and growth output of India.
And Prabhat, why do you believe India must now shift its focus from service-led growth to deep tech innovation? Why do you think this is going to be the main vehicle for India to leapfrog into a very different kind of an innovation ecosystem, Prabhat?
Gaurav, I believe that now India is no longer remaining a market or a service kind of industry here only. Now India has arrived in some sense. We have our own like a digital public infrastructure and many initiatives, whether it is sovereign AI, whether it is semiconductor posts in terms of data centers and other things, and PLI schemes. So we have got so many things. Quantum mission is going on, AI mission is going on. So this is the right time when India needs to grow at a faster pace. And when we have the a vision and mission of Viksit Bharat 2047, and we have to grow at the rate of 8% every year, so our GDP has to grow. So this is the right time that we need to get into the deep tech areas. And the entire effort of government is in that direction only. Because until unless you have created that kind of momentum in the deep tech areas, you cannot build for the world. The purpose is that live here and build for the world. That is the right vision that we should have. Live here, scale here, die here. This is also I talk in my book also, that people should be here and build for the world. That is the right kind of perspective. And opportunities are immense in India at the moment, Gaurav.
Absolutely. And which are the technology, which are the sectors do you think that, where you are very bullish on about the prospects? Which are the sectors do you think are going to lead this in India?
Yeah, I just named a couple of them, like AI is there, semiconductor is there, quantum is there, biotech is there, space tech is there. So these are the kind of defense tech is there. So we need to, because you see these days what is happening, AI is being used as a geopolitical kind of an instrument. So until unless we really develop these technologies in on a sovereign level, and we are not able to get some kind of self-sustaining kind of thing in this technology, they're going to lose out in a larger way, 10 years down the line. So this is the right time, and a couple of lot of IITians are doing good job, like the Sarvam AI, the person, one of the co-founders, a good friend of mine. So they are doing pretty good job, and we are very proud of that, and that IIT legacy that is being played out in these kind of areas. And I think that in the coming 5 to 10 years down the line, a lot of deep tech research is happening, a lot of patient capital is being given to these researchers, which is a very positive thing for this.
You know, Prabhat, let's talk a little bit about the other side of the story. Where do you think, what are the biggest challenges India must overcome to become a global destination for cutting-edge research?
So I think we need to spend our R&D, spending on the research, because right now it is only 1%. So if we need to really be at the cutting edge of the R&D globally, minimum it should be 2%. So firstly, we need to increase our R&D spending. Then we need to also create a linkage between the industry and the academia and the research and everything. And one more thing which I feel important is that IIT should play a very pivotal role in this case. And more than the teaching centers, the IIT should become a kind of research centers, R&D centers. We need to put in more effort, more energy, more thing into this kind of thing. Because I just mentioned about the research parks. So we need to create labs, world-class labs. So until unless we put in energy, effort, money into creating the labs and creating the research atmosphere well, so then it will be difficult otherwise. This is what I think, Gaurav.
You mentioned about industry linkages previously. How important is collaboration between academia, industry and government achieving technological self-reliance?
Yes, absolutely. So until unless you have the market, whatever you are researching on, until unless that research is really required in the market, how will you put that research to use? So, and you are wasting money otherwise in any kind of research if it is not generating you enough kind of resources subsequently. But you want to spend your dollars, your money very correctly on the things which will give you some kind of market leverage in future. So that is why the linkage is very important. Although the linkage may be not suppose it is today, the requirements are different in the market. Tomorrow, the requirement may be different. So we need to also forecast the requirements, what is going to come in the medium term and the long term. So immediate term is good, But suppose in 5 years' time, what is going to be required? In 10 years' time, what is going to be required? So that kind of forecasting of technology requirements in the market will also be very, very necessary so that we start doing the research in the right earnest right now itself. Yes, Bharat.
You know, Prabhat, if you could bring, this is a hypothetical question, but if you could bring about one policy change to accelerate research and innovation in India, what would that be, Prabhat?
If that is there, then I will say ki we need to create IITs as a research centers. This because I talk about IIT, so I will talk about IIT only. So we need to create a kind of a research climate better in IIT campuses by putting in some more like money, by putting in more resources, and by creating such kind of industry linkages in the campus of IITs. I hope I have explained you this.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you play a very active role in the Pan IIT Alumni India. How is it supporting the government's vision of Viksit Bharat 2047 through research and innovation? Just give me a few examples of what is the kind of work that is taking place there and how it is actually reinforcing the government's vision.
Absolutely. So a couple of things that we are doing is that one, we are creating a kind of awakening among the minds of people, whether they're IIT and non-IIT, and about the nation building role. We keep on holding conferences and everything. And apart from that, we have also have a new initiative where we have created a kind of a AI think tank. So in this AI think tank, which we have named as Pariniti, this is a pan-IIT AI think tank. So there we are going to give the government some kind of suggestions that wherever there is a policy gap which is existing somewhere, or in the global benchmarking, where are we figuring at the moment? So that we are going to look into. Secondly, PanIIT is going to start PanIIT Ventures also. So in the PanIIT Ventures, we are going to support the startup ecosystem by having a patient capital in that. So we are trying to do whatever possible for us at the moment in terms of capital, in terms of some kind of think tank activity, some kind of conferences where people are coming together, and of course a kind of awakening that we are trying to do, that you should be having the legacy of the IITs in the minds of IITians. Yes, Bharat.
You know, Prabhat, finally, what is your message to every IITian, every young researcher, and every Indian origin scientist across the world?
Yes, my message is very, very clear that we need to understand the legacy of IIT in the right context and right earnest, why it has been established, and are we doing that? How are we supporting that vision? How are we helping in the nation building? How are we helping the our Honorable Prime Minister's cause of Viksit Bharat? How are we supporting it? And you know one thing, it is not that you work in government or anywhere, then only you are doing nation building. It's not. Whether you are making a digital infrastructure or a physical infrastructure, you are creating jobs, you are creating GDP growth, you are working in your company but creating the growth in the GDP. So mm-hmm. you are all helping the cause of the government. So I say that whatever you are doing, please keep in your mind that what you need to do. That if you are awakened to even that sensibility also, our job is done in that sense.
Absolutely. Very well said. And many congratulations, Prabhat, on your
Thank
book.
You.
And many thanks so much for...
I would like to show you the book also. This is the book.
Absolutely. Yes.
This is the book I have written. It's a not very thick book, but it contains a lot of things that people should definitely know about. And they should, if they read it, it's easy to read, but it has a very good message behind, and whatever we discussed today is part of this book, that kind of messaging I have tried to give in this book as well.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Prabhat, for taking the time out and sharing your deep insights and perspective on a range of issues, and also dropping by to have this conversation with us.
Thank you so much, Gaurav, for giving me this opportunity, and looking forward to many more interactions like this. Thank you. Thank you once again.